Amen. Let the people of God say amen. Let's give them another hand. That was great. I said to Manley earlier this morning that his mother encouraged him to sing. Unlike my mother, and she was here last Sunday, many of you know her, when I start singing, she said, "That's enough, don't worry about it." Amen. Some of you are probably in that same category. But that was great. That was great. One of the great joys in serving in the church is to see all of the different expressions of our ministry together and the way that we do and share in the life of the community. I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity to see on the Palm Coast, in the Palm Coast newspaper or online, Linda and her mom are on there. Give them a hand right on the front section there. As well as we have an author in our midst, and she was cited by her new book, Grumbling Pub, and that is Jennifer, who's a member of our church and help our youth as well. Give her a hand. All right. Oh, she got her book too. Boy, that's a real author there, isn't it? I wanted to share with you and thank you again for what you did last week with Football Sunday, and over 400 kids from high school to elementary was here on our campus, and we had a great time. But I wanted to just read this news clip to you. I just couldn't pass it up. It was in Friday's newspaper. Listen well. Jeff Riegel, 56, died last Friday. Before his death, he promised his friends a funny message in his obituary. The lifetime Eagles fan obituary asked to have 8 Philadelphia Eagle football players as his pallbearers so the Eagles can let him down one more time. I just thought that was good. Forgive me, Eagle fans. That was just too good to pass up. All right. Let me call your attention to our text for this morning. It's from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 11 and the first 4 verses. And it's really one of the passages as it relates to the model prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. It's also cited in Matthew's Gospel, the 6th chapter, verses 9 through 13. Listen to these words from Eugene Peterson's Message Bible. One day, he was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said, "Master, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." So he said, "When you pray, say, 'Father, reveal who you are, set the world right, keep us alive with 3 square meals, keep us forgiven with you, and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. Deliver us from evil. Evil is a stubborn reality, and we seek God to deliver us from evil, to deliver us from persecution, to deliver us from perilous times, to deliver us from the evil of fear, or even to deliver us from evil. Now, if you look at Psalms 23 in the 4th verse, we probably know it just as well as we know the model prayer. David said it this way in the 4th verse of the 23rd Psalm. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear what? No evil. No evil." I don't know how many of you enjoyed Monday, the gift that was given to us from the hands of Almighty God, to have a chance with the rest of the world, people around the globe, left their jobs and even some left school early, just to take a glimpse and look upward, to see from Oregon to South Carolina, from left to right, how the moon moved in front of the sun to block the sun. It reminds me of a quote by a theologian. He had this to say about that episode. The light of the sun may be blocked, for an example, by some material object so as to cast a shadow, indeed, for a time in an eclipse. The direct light of the sun may be shut off from the observer. Nothing like that can block God's light. End of quote. Isn't that good news? Regardless of the perilous of times and the chaotic moments that we see displayed in front of us and around us, nothing, not even darkness, can block off the light of Almighty God. He's an awesome God. Well, on Monday, as many news outlets were sharing what was happening, what we were experiencing, one news commentator had this to say, because the politicians and others and people from all walks of life, from all ages, a very diverse crowd, he said these words, "We need another eclipse." Yeah. To take us away from all of the frustration, all of the anger, all of the bitterness, all of the tensions that we have experienced over the last few days and weeks. He said, we need another, just one more eclipse. It is a great paradigm to remember if you look closely and if you want to write this verse down in the 121st Psalms. David said it this way, "I will lift my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. All my help comes from the Lord who made" what? "The heavens and the earth." David was correct. We can look upward to God. He is the source of our strength and the source of our power and the source of our lives. Paul said it this way, it is because of him that we move, live, and have our being. Our existence depends upon our relationship with a God who loves us over and over again. And so I want to call your attention to this prayer known to us as the model prayer. Now, incorrectly, we do list it sometimes and even say it sometimes as the Lord's Prayer. Jesus never prayed this prayer. And the reason he didn't pray this prayer, because if you look as it relates to one phrase in the prayer, "Forgive us of our" what? "Sins. As we forgive those who sin against us." No way Jesus could pray this prayer. He wasn't exempt. Jesus was perfect. But it was the pattern of prayer that he was teaching his disciples as well as us. And if you look closely in your sermon notes, here's a question for you right here. Why did Jesus teach the pattern of prayer? Ask your neighbor that question. Jesus was with his disciples, and his disciples noticed his life and his prayer life. And they noticed that he would drift away from them as well as from the crowd, and he would go and pray. Well, if you look at the screen carefully, you'll see the backdrop behind the question is the location where Jesus first prayed this prayer, according to historians. He prayed this prayer in what is known today, and the church has its title as well, Pater Noster. Pater Noster is a Latin word which means our Father. And Jesus Christ prayed on this very site, and the church is now called Pater Noster, the Our Father Church. It was built by Constantine in the fourth century. Constantine's mother, by the way, made this request for him to build this church. People come from all over the world just to go into that church and to pray the model prayer. Now, this wasn't the only time that Jesus prayed this prayer with his disciples. But Luke gives us this interpretation of him praying and sharing this pattern. Now, if you look closely in your sermon notes or in Luke chapter 11 or Matthew chapter 6, you will easily notice that there is no singular personal pronoun in the model prayer. This prayer doesn't say, "My Father, give me 3 square meals. Forgive me of my sins," or even "deliver me from my enemies." But it's inclusive. It starts off by saying what? Our Father. Doesn't matter what interpretation, what Bible you have, that's how the model prayer starts. We had a young lady by the name of Sydney who was right here in elementary school, and she prayed that prayer at the last service, and she's just a little kid in elementary school, but she knew that verbatim. It is a very important prayer that gives us that pattern, because if you notice the pattern, it starts out with "Our Father." It's a sense of reverence to God. Then the first 3 phrases deal with our relationship with God and acknowledging His deity and His majesty. And then the next 3 points, phrases, if you will, deals with a request from God, our requests, our desires from God. And then lastly, he closes out with a doxology. Not the doxology we're used to, but it says, "Thou is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And so I want to talk about the bottom up of this passage as it relates to the last verse, and look at Eugene Peterson's interpretation. Eugene Peterson says it this way as it relates to Luke chapter 11 and the 4th verse. Eugene Peterson reminds us that we have a part in it as well. He says, "Deliver," or "keep us safe." Isn't that something? "Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil." How many of you know that sometimes it's not the devil, it's me that has caused the problem? That's a self-inventory. It's right there in the passage. It's in bold. He reminds us sometimes it's me. Now, it's easy to shift the blame. How many of you remember the comedian Flip Wilson, by a show of hands? Yeah. You remember Flip Wilson when he used to do his little skit? And Flip Wilson used to say at the end, when he does something wrong, what did he say? "The devil made me do it." It's easy to shift the blame to Satan, and definitely Satan is our enemy. But sometimes we're the problem. Sometimes self. Self gets ahead of God and what God wants for our lives, and we're the problem. And nothing to do with the devil at all. In this case, it has to do with me. I'm going to give an illustration at the closing of this message, but I want to talk about even Satan comes up, and he has his part as well. And so he says, "Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one." And Jesus was teaching the disciples this pattern of prayer, because Jesus himself was a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer. How do we know? Just read the Bible. He prayed at the gravesite of Lazarus. He prayed when he called the disciples. He prayed when he was baptized. Jesus Christ was indeed a man of prayer. There's a picture of the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prayed in this garden. He asked his Father if he could let this cup of sorrow, let this cup of bitterness pass by me. "Nevertheless, thy will be done." He even prayed on the cross. He was a man of prayer. And so the disciples wanted to see how he connected with God. It was his opportunity to share with them. Here's another point, if you want to write it down and share the scripture passage from Romans, the 12th chapter, the 21st verse. Prayer draws us closer to God. It draws us closer to God. We're able to share our concerns, our desires, our thanksgiving to a God who loves us. Romans 12:21 says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? Good." With good. Isn't it wonderful to hear the great stories and the goodness that is coming out from the people who are part of the state of Texas, how they're welcoming people, strangers, into their homes to keep them away from the hurricane. And they continue to give food to those who are needy. That's overcoming evil, the evil of nature, with good. Jesus was teaching his disciples as it relates to them having the power from their prayer life. And prayer is powerful. Look at Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 7 and 8. Verses 7 and 8, it reminds us to what? To ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall what? Find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that has what? Ask, receive, and he that seeketh, find, and to him that knock, it shall be opened. He wants to lavishly give us his abundance. Now, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, according to John, the 10th chapter. But still, right there, the 10th verse. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so the disciples wanted to know the source of his power. And the source of his power was in his communication with his Father. He continued to pray. And the last part says, deliver us from ourselves and from the devil, from the evil one. For evil is a stubborn reality. But we have to continue to break down through the grace of God and go forward in his name. Amen. If you're dealing with a situation now, know that God wants you to let it go. If it's anger or bitterness or resentment, just let it go. If it's past hurt and past pains, you remember the passage from last Sunday from Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 to 14, Paul says, not that I've apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forget about those things which are behind and reach forward unto those things which are before. God will be with you regardless of any situation. He's there with us because he loves us over and over again. Amen. Let me share this with you as it relates to Eugene Peterson saying, deliver us and keep us safe even from ourselves and the devil, because sometimes self can get in the way. I want to share you a story. How many of you have ever heard of St. Augustine, Florida? Yeah, by show of hands. Yeah, very familiar with that, aren't you? This is about St. Augustine, and I want to read this to you. There's a legendary story about St. Augustine which illustrates the limits of our human understanding of God. One day, as he was walking on the beach and contemplating the mystery of God, he happened upon a little young boy who was playing on the seashore. He watched the little boy as he dug a hole in the sand with a sea shovel. The youngster proceeded to dip water from the sea with the sea shovel and pour the water into a hole that he had dug. Augustine asked the boy what he was doing. He answered, I'm emptying the ocean in this hole that I've dug. Augustine responded, you'll never empty the whole ocean into the hole. According to the story, St. Augustine thought to himself as he went away from the little boy, that's exactly what I've been trying to do. I've tried to put all of God in my head. Just as a small hole in the ground is not big enough for all the water in the ocean, so my head is not big enough to get all of God in it. And look at this question, and it's in your sermon notes. How small would God have to be for us to empty the great mystery of God and his creation in our little brains? How small? We can't box God in. God wants to continue to have us to experience him over and over again. And we communicate with God through prayer. The model prayer is not given to us as a wish list or even to help us win the lottery. Hello. But the model prayer is given to us to communicate with a God who loves us and wants to hear from you and from me. The hymnologist said it well in hymn number 545. He says, open my eyes, open my ears, open my mouth. Spirit of divine, illuminate me. In Jesus' name, deliver me from self and evil. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. Won't you stand as